seems to, you know, you're caught in this, you know, catch 22, right? Because if you don't watch, you don't know, but then you watch and you don't want to know, right? Right? It's one of those things. It's tough. It's rough out there. You hear of people going through some very difficult times these days. We are experiencing a storm unlike any in probably any of our lifetimes. It's that bad. If we continue down this path, we're gonna hit things that are even worse. And so what do we do? What do we do? You are here this morning, and I am here this morning, because we have found that in God, all things are possible. Amen. And that all things are possible for those who believe. That's why we are here. Now, in times of trouble and difficult times, it's very easy to pull apart. You understand that, right? Because the mentality of humans is to fend for themselves, right? To look out for number one, and in many instances, number one is who? It's me, right? But let me tell you this morning and challenge all of us that that is precisely the thing that we ought not to be doing. That when times are tough and the waters get choppy, it is best to pull together. To stay close. If we pull apart, then really we're out there in the water. You probably heard the tragic story last week of these four football players, two of them in the NFL, who were out in the water and off the coast of Tampa, and they were out there having a good time until their boat capsized. And initially they all hung around the boat, but some decided, you know, we're not going to do this. They gave up hope, took their vests off, and allowed the currents, the choppy currents of the Gulf, to take them away from the only source of safety they had. That's what happens when times get rough and we decide to do it on our own. And we've been touching on this series of doing community, building this community, and doing things together. My friends, I'm you know, my heart is really very heavy this morning and strong. I mean this is real. If we pull apart, if we do things on our own, we're gonna fail. But if we decide to be a team, if we decide to be a team, especially during these rough and difficult times, we will prevail. Amen. We will prevail. Turn to your Bibles, or you can read up in the screen. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 30. The Apostle Paul saying this, and you could probably recite this and quote it from memory. But it says, "And we know that all things..." All these things, right? The bad economic meltdown and the rough environment that we are experiencing right now. We know that in all things God works for the good. Listen there, for the good of those who what? Who love Him. Who have been called according to His purpose. I've been teaching, you know, that you have a purpose. I have a purpose. We as a church, as a ministry, have a purpose in God. And so I want you to take this, you know, this finger and point it towards yourself and say, I have a purpose. Now turn to the person next to you and tell them, you have a purpose. Now watch that finger. Right? You don't want to poke somebody in the eye. I have a purpose. And so if we have a purpose, all these things work for good. For those God foreknew, he predestined. He also predestined to be conformed into the likeness of his son, and he might be the firstborn among the brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. You have a purpose. You have a purpose. Now, here's what I want to touch on today. We talked about, you know, being together, right? And what does that mean? And living a community, living in community, that if somebody is struggling in our midst, we're there for one another. And last week, Pastor Mike talked about worshiping together. And that's what we do. We come on a weekly basis in a sort of to charge our spiritual battery, right? Our spiritual battery, and we come together and we fellowship and we sing and we enjoy God's presence and each other's presence. But today I want to talk about what it takes to serve as a team. Have you ever seen these rowing competitions in the Olympics? I mean, I don't know how they do it, right? Because I've tried the rowing machine in the gym, and after probably two or three pulls, you know, it's almost you have to call the paramedics and resuscitate me, because it's pretty hard stuff. Now there's something to that, right? There's a rhythm that comes with it, right? And if you do it in that rhythm, where all your muscles are you know going and flowing in the same direction, I've been told it gets easier. You know, it gets easier. If you're like all over the place and uncoordinated, right, it doesn't work. You get exerted. Now, the same thing happens when you have two people, you know, doing the same. Can you imagine? It's hard enough for one person to do that, let alone have two people do that. Now, imagine when they do three and four. I always, you know, as I look at this, I always wanted to be the guy who just, you know, like calls out the, I don't know what he says. What do they say? Okay, pull, push, pull, push. At least I have rhythm, right? But and let everybody, you know, but that's what we need to do. The Bible says we are in a race. We are in a race. And so we have to do things together. Now, Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 says this: agree with each other, loving one another, and working what? Oh, say that out loud. Working together. With one heart and what? One purpose. I love the scriptures. You know why? Because it's so precise. Amen. When I was in seminary, they taught us, look, you got to pay attention to all the words and how they're stringed together, because it's precision. Agree with one another, loving one another, and working together with one heart and one purpose. In tough times, it's easier to work for ourselves, for our own purpose, and our own heart. And what Paul is saying here is, I want you to work together. Think about the early church and everything they had to go through. They were being persecuted, and they went through some really, really rough times. I mean, we have it easy. We had a sister here from Bolivia earlier. She was sharing her story and her testimony. Let me tell you something. It is a cake to be a Christian in the United States of America. It is so easy. I mean, she was telling some, I mean, her husband died in a crash. She had to raise her children almost by herself and still do ministry without, you know, a lot of income. And she's done this faithfully for years. But she did it as part of a team. She said, look, don't just pray for me, pray for my team. And this is what it takes to be a team. Number one, the first letter there, is it takes trust. It takes trust. If there's no trust, there's no team. If there's no trust, then, you know, we pull in our own direction. Paul wrote to Timothy these words. He says, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Just guard it. Now, how do we build trust, right? Because it's not like a switch that we switch on, right? Trust, it's one of those little things that take what? It takes time. So how do we build trust? Number one, by being consistent. If I know where you are every time I come to you, that's being consistent. I can trust that. If you are all over the place, and from day to day, I don't know where you stand, and I don't know where, you know, what your likes are and your dislikes, and where you're pulling towards. I you know, that inconsistency will create a factor of mistrust. Right? It works like that for any relationship. If you have a consistent partner, day after day, week after week, you know, month after month, and year after year, after a while, there's a bond of trust that is unbreakable. Now, have somebody in that relationship being consistent in that trust by doing things that they ought not to be doing. What happens to that trust? It erodes, disintegrates. So we need to be consistent. Whoever can be entrusted with the little, the Bible says, can also be trusted with much. Consistency is the key. Secondly, how do we build trust? By being confidential. I think I've said this before. I mean, truly confidential. We ought to be like tombs when it comes to listening what other people are telling us and just keeping it to ourselves. That confidence is so important in building trust. How many times have you gone through this experience? I'm a very trusting person, all right? I mean, that's one of my faults. And you know, I never tend to learn from it. You know, I'll meet somebody, especially if it's in a Christian circle, right? And so I'll get to know somebody, and I just start, you know, just like I open my, I'm very, very, you know, just very trusting. And experience has taught me that, you know, this person may not be very trustworthy. And so, you know, as I'm talking, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I probably shouldn't have said that. But how bad is that, right? Where you have to calculate and measure every word you say because there's no confidence there. There's no people are not being confidential. Am I just talking to myself this morning, or are you getting this? Isn't that true? Yes, a gossip betrays confidence. But a trustworthy person keeps a secret. Keeps a secret. There's no gossipers here, I know, but I've met gossipers. And it's not fun. You know, it may be entertaining for a little bit, but when you see what that gossip is doing to individuals, it's horrible. It's horrible. Thirdly, how do we build trust? By being close. By being close. Friends, love through all kinds of weather, and family stick together in all kinds of trouble. Now, you know, probably the writer of the Proverbs here was being probably a bit optimistic, right? And really hoping for the best. We know that families fall apart, right? We know that friends sometimes do. And what is the cause of that breakage? There's no trust. Second, Not only do we need to trust each other in order to build this team, we need to show empathy. Empathy. 1 Peter 3:8 says this, live in harmony with one another and be sympathetic. You know, there's nothing rougher than you pouring your heart out to somebody that you're looking at that person and they just don't care. You know, have you ever had that experience before? I mean, with a supervisor or a parent or a spouse, or you know, that you're talking to them, but their minds are like in you know, all over the place. They're not paying attention to what you're saying or what you like or you don't like. I was having a conversation with a person yesterday, and he said that one of his passions when he was growing up was to write. He wanted to be a poet. And he wrote this in his view, he wrote this great poem, and he took it to his English teacher. It was an assignment. It wasn't part of the curriculum. It was something that he did on his own time, and he wanted some feedback, and he gave it to his teacher. And the teacher looked at it, just glanced at it, folded it, put it in his pocket, and he said, I never heard anything from that teacher. And he says, I gave up writing. How do we become empathetic in our relationships as we build trust? Number one, we have to slow down. We are so quick to speak and so slow to listen, yet James tells us, be quick to listen and slow to speak. You don't have to get your point across right there and then at that particular time. You know, it's times that you need to just listen. By nature, I am a problem solver. You know? So Carmen will come to me and she'll tell me what's going on, and as she's talking to me, all right? I'm not even paying full attention to what he's saying, because in my head I'm already formulating how can we solve this situation. You don't need no solving, just listen, right? And all the women in the room said, yeah. Amen, right? And all the guys in the room said, oh. It don't need no solving. Just you know, slow down, be quick to listen. I, you know, for my kids too. You know, they're telling me something, and I'm already okay. I would, you know, sometimes I just gotta listen. Right? And all God's children said. So be quick, but only to listen. Sometimes we're very quick to speak, right? Oh, no, wait a minute. You haven't heard the whole story. You haven't heard the context. You may not need your feedback right now, okay? Secondly, how do we show empathy? By asking questions. You know, when you are going through difficult times, and you are, like right now, you know, we're going through this economic storm, it is so easy to focus on what's going on with you, right? And it happens with me. I have like 50 million things going on in my head at all times. It's so funny, you know, Carmen and I have been married for 19 years. All she has to do is just look at me, just glance at me once, and she says, okay, what are you thinking? I don't know, I think my eyes just start moving like from side to side real quick and up and down. I start blinking. I don't know what I do, but she can read me. And she's, okay, what's going through your mind? What's going through your mind? If you want to show empathy, you gotta ask people, so how, you know, tell me about you. What's going on? How are you feeling? How are you handling this? You may not know the whole context. You may not know the ins and outs as to what's going on. That person may or may not tell you the whole thing. But if you ask questions, you are showing that person that what? You care. That you care. rejoice with those who rejoice, Romans says, and weep with those who weep. That's the next one. A person's thoughts are like water in a deep well, but someone with insight can draw them out. Ask questions. Next, how do we show empathy? By showing emotions. Now, here's where 1 Timothy says, you know, be faithful. You know, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Show emotion. Show that you care. Show that you're there with them.
Well, I'm not the emotional type, right?
Well, you know what? Do you have a heart? Right? Do you have feelings? Show some emotion. I love, I've said this before. One of my downfalls, I love football. You know, to some of the guys here, they tell me all the time that I root for the wrong team. Right? And the Miami Dolphin fans here say, amen. Right, Pastor Reggie's rooting for the wrong team. But I have two things to tell you guys, okay? Are you ready for this? T.O. All right. The Bills have T.O. All right. Now, enough said. But I love football because these guys are tough and rough and strong. And they're everything I wish I could be, right? Fast and muscular and, you know, just like, you know, they can do so many things. But then, you know, when they lose a game, right? And that mic gets right in front of their face. Man, I let myself down. I let my teammates down. Right? You see that raw emotion when they win? No, man, I couldn't. No, it's all you, man. It's all you. I did it because of you, right? You see that emotion, that passion there. You know, I'm not saying, you know, if somebody starts telling you something that you just, you know. We had this one person in one of the churches that I pastored in. And, be genuine about the emotions because we knew that it wasn't genuine. And sometimes, you know, Carmen and I, would sit, you know, and this person would go up there and grab the mic, and Carmen and I would say, okay, we looked at each other, we would say, in 3, 2, 1, boom! I mean, we were that good. So, but be genuine about your emotions, right? Be genuine about the emotions. How else do we do this? How else do we do this? With each other's needs. Is that where we are? No. Okay. Accommodation. You know, you may be right sometimes, but you are wrong other times. And so you have to accommodate. You know, with the same measuring stick that we use to measure others, we ourselves will be measured, right? That's what the Bible says. So we have to be very careful how we do that. 2 Timothy says this, be faithful, loving, and easy to get along with. Have you ever met a person that is hard to get along with that person? I have made it my goal in life to get along with everybody. As it is with most of your companies or the companies that are out there, you know, the company that Carmen and I work for Monday through Friday is going through some very interesting times. Very interesting times. And one of the things that I have learned to do, I mean, and you see the internal politics, right, the office politics, and this person doesn't get along with that person, and this person is trying to destroy that person, and this and that, you know. And so I made it my point to stay completely out of that, you know, toxic waste, to rise above it and to be friends and cordial to that person and that person. And thanks be to God, you know, I've been able to be friends, I mean, with people that really don't like each other very much. So what are the things that we need to accommodate? Well, we need to accommodate each other's needs. I'm gonna fly through these because it's hot in here, right? I think it's a little hot. Each other's needs. That's how we accommodate. When we put the other person's needs ahead of ours, we're being accommodating. Secondly, by accommodating each other's ideas. Have you ever given out, you know, your idea only to have it, you know, like outright just whoosh, cut? Oh, that's not very good. My fault. I've done that to people. When I started in the ministry, you know, I thought, you know, I felt that I had like full revelation from God. Whew. I knew everything. Needless to say, I was a teenager. You know, I was 18 when I started. You know how teenagers could be. You know, we know it all when we're teenagers. Right? Did you hear the story of the 14-year-old who thought and said to himself, you know, my dad was the biggest fool in the whole world when I was 18. By the time I was 21, I thought my dad was the wisest person in the entire planet. I couldn't believe how much my dad had learned in those 2 years. All right, that's the life of a teenager, right? But you never know, because you know somebody may be bringing an idea to you that person has been working and thinking and you know, just working through in their heads for weeks or days or months or even years, and they come to you and they share. Finally, they get the courage to show and share that idea with you, and then you destroy that idea just by dismissing it. How long do you think it's going to take for that person to come back to you and what happens to the team? Right? What happens to the team? And so accommodate each other's ideas. The intelligent man is always open to new ideas. In fact, he looks for them. He looks for them. So if you have good ideas or bad ideas or just ideas, bring them to us. We want to know. Okay? I mean, it may fit the mission and the vision or not. We won't know. We won't know until you share. But everybody here is part of this team. Amen? Amen. Everybody here has a role to play, right? Everybody here has a function and something that you can do to make this team stronger and grow faster and grow bigger. Everybody here. It's just not the pastor. It's not any of the other pastors. It's everybody. Everybody. And then how else do we accommodate? We accommodate each other's what? Personalities. I love the model that Jesus used, right? Because if you read and you say, okay, you know, sometimes, you know, I know that when I was younger, I would read and Jesus went and chose Peter and Jesus chose Matthew. And just, right? Why do I need to know who Jesus chose and where they were from? You know, because it was this person from there and this person from... Did you know that Jesus had every emotion in the spectrum and personality in the spectrum in his team? He had Peter, who had to have some chemical imbalance in his body, for sure, because one minute he's telling Jesus, I'll die for you, and the other one he's like chopping ears and running, right? You had people in Jesus' team who thought, hey, let's go with the flow here. We don't want to be too subversive. We don't want to be radicals here. Very conservative people. You know, people like Matthew, who used to collect taxes for the government. You had to, you know what they call a company man. You had to be a yes man
to do that, right? Never mind you were patting your own pockets, you know, but he had a Matthew in his team, and then he had a zealot on his team. You know what a zealot was? A zealot was a person that whole sect of the zealots, they wanted to bring about the kingdom of God by force, with arms. In fact, there was a moment when they came to challenge Jesus, and they were reaching for their peace. Do you remember that? They were reaching, and Jesus had to tell them, "Hey, put it away." I wonder why Jesus never told them to, you know, get rid of the peace. But that's besides the point, right? That's besides the point. But they were ready to do some damage, right? And so Jesus had all personalities. He had the quiet ones, the ones that we never read or hear about in the scriptures, and then we had the very charismatic, you know, personalities there. We have to accommodate every personality. God in his kindness gave each of us different gifts, right? Different personalities. All right, I'm moving along here. We have to accommodate each other's, not only do we have to accommodate each other's personality, we have to accommodate each other's faults. Each other's faults. Be patient with one another, Ephesians says. Be patient with one another, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. You always have to think about it this way. Today is this person, tomorrow it may be me. Do you understand that? I am so, listen, to a fault sometimes, I am so very hesitant in judging other people and really come, you know, God is judge. I'll teach. Hopefully you're being sensitive enough to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, and I'll coach you and we'll work. I am very hesitant in judging people. You know why? Because I'm human. I don't know when it's going to be me, if it's going to be me. And I want that if I ever go through any situation where it's me, I want people to extend mercy and show kindness and show compassion and not to kick me by the side of the... You know, I am very careful, very careful. Most of you probably remember the 1980s and the scandals of these, you know, these mega televangelists. Do you remember that, for those of you who are... you know, a little more seasoned. For you young people, you're saying 80s. Oh my gosh. Wasn't that like last century? Well, yeah, it was the last millennium, actually. It was. You're right. That was like way. That was the last millennium. Yeah. But do you remember like one of these preachers came really down on another preacher, and you know, because he was quote unquote erring for the sake of the gospel, all the faults that this person was going through, only to he himself find himself in the same situation just, you know, a year after. And then he wanted mercy. Now listen, I know. Look, if you're with somebody and that person is just blatantly sinning and really like, then you distance yourself. You say, look, I'm not with that. You know better. I know that you know better. I'm not going to judge you. You want to go in that road, that's fine, but I cannot follow you. But I'll be here waiting for you the day you return, and I'll embrace you. There's a difference, right? There's a difference. But when I accommodate your faults, I'm saying, look, you are just as human as I am. You are just as weak as I am. We're all in this together. All right, we're like part of the offensive line, and I blew a blocking assignment, and you stepped in there just in the nick of time to save the quarterback. Right, tomorrow may be me. So we have to be accommodating. Be patient with one another. Ephesians says, be patient, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. And then lastly, the M in how do we create this team is we have to have a mission. Next week, we're really going to be talking about, the larger community. And basically, what I'm going to be teaching next week is, okay, what
as we do life together here, as we, you know, are together and worship together and serve together, what is the larger context as to why we're doing this? But the bottom line is this, I want to give you, is that we have to have one mission. You know, and that's why Paul used military language so much when he's in his writings, because it is true, when you are in the military. I mean, I never was in the military. I have high respects for those who choose that line of work. My dad was in the military. The dad was very disciplined, and so when you're in the military and the orders are to march forward, you what? You don't go in different directions, because what happens? You blow the mission. You know, I love video games, but I'm not very good at them. Number one, it's probably because I don't have the patience to learn the video games. And so sometimes these military games, you know, and I go in there and I try to do the thing and I blow the mission every single time. Every single time. Because I don't follow the instructions. I don't follow the mission. You know, the mission may be fly over here and bomb over here and then over here. No, I just want to just, you know what, let me get to the other side. I lose the mission. The same thing here with us. If we don't hold on to the mission and the vision that God has given for this ministry, we're not going to succeed. If we, each of us, you know, decide, okay, we're gonna go in this direction or that direction, we will not succeed. Philippians 2:2 says this, be of the same what? Mind. Maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Very precise. Very precise. Be of the same mind. Now, the mind there is not just, okay, you got to think like I do, okay? Because that's sometimes, you know. See, this world would be so much better if you thought like I did. And we all agreed. Okay, just agree with me. Just think like me. He's not saying that. He's not saying you all think you have to think alike. No, no. Because if we think differently, we can see things differently and bring different perspective to make the idea and the mission better, right? I mean, so that's not what he's saying there is be of the same spiritual mission and vision. Okay, and so for the Church of Jesus Christ, for us as the community of faith, our mission is to show the love of Christ and to tell the love of Christ. That's it. If you boil it down to that, it's to show the love of Christ and to tell about the love of Christ. Now, how we do that, that's where we can, you know, we can play with it. So if we are strong with that mission, and next week we're going to be really diving into the mission and vision of our ministry here. If we have that as the backdrop, as the foundation to what we need to do, we're going to be okay. Right? Does that make sense? Like the coach comes and he has a play. He has a play, right? He's preparing. He's watching film. He's studying the other opponents, and out of that he looks at a plan and he says, okay, this is what we're going to execute. And so practices and all of that will revolve around that plan, right? Game day comes, that coach is hoping that his strategy and his plan is better than the others, right? In order to win, in order to advance. Now, he may have to do some adjustments, right, at halftime or something, you know, this is not working, we got to adjust here and there. A smart coach will do that. Now, here's the best thing of this. God has told us already that we're going to win. Amen. Can you imagine that? Amen. Hey, in a lot of ways, the game is fixed. All right, the game is, we know we're going to win. We know we're going to win. So all we have to do is just follow the strategy. You know what? Mr. Opponent, enemy of mine, you may put up a front. And you know what? I may let you put, I'm not going to bother with a lot of the stuff that you do, but at the end of the day, we win, you lose. We win, you lose. Mission. Be of the same mind. Does this make any sense? So to recap, how do we build this team? We have to trust, show empathy, we have to be show accommodation to one another, and we have to pull in the same mission. Amen. Pray with me, please. Lord, the cry of our hearts this day, in the midst of some difficult moments, in the midst of a world that is, it seems to be crumbling all around us, where the economy is a mess, where there's wars and rumors of wars, where there's so many wrong things happening in the world, Lord, that would cause us to pull in different directions, Lord. The call that you've placed on our lives is to become a team. And so, Lord, I pray this day that you'll just solidify our team. That we may trust each other, that we may be show empathy towards one another, that we may accommodate each other's faults, that we may have a single purpose and a single mission as to what it is that you've called us to do. And Lord, this really applies to every area of our lives, Lord. There's some of us that really need to work on our teams at home, or with our kids, or with our bosses, or at school, or in our neighborhoods, Lord. Lord, I thank you that this applies to everything. But Lord, in the context of this ministry, I pray that we would seriously, Lord, consider becoming a strong team. One that would bring glory and honor to you, that in us, the prayer Jesus prayed for his disciples when he prayed, Lord, let them be one that the world may believe that you have sent me, would really come to pass in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit. We thank you, Lord, for each other. And all God's children said,
amen.
Amen.
We're going to sing a final song. Song of commitment to the Lord. Asking the Lord to change us. In order to build this team, it has to start with me. Yeah, it has to start with you as we build a team together. But just before we sing the song of commitment, we're going to ask Shante. She just wanted to say something for 30 seconds. And then we're going to sing a song of commitment. And that's Shante. We're accommodating each other. Amen.
Just really quick, it's like spring break time, and what me and Shante wanted to do is a type of outreach and evangelism time this week. And if you guys are interested in coming, you can just meet us after church to talk about it, and we're trying to organize something. So, and if you can't come, would you please just be in prayer for us? All right, thank you.
Amen. Amen. The song says, change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. We're going to stand together and just sing it to God as a prayer. We definitely have to have change from the inside for us to really be a team. Amen?
Amen.
Here we go now.
Change my heart, O God.
Let's sing it to him. You want to be different.
Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God.
May I be like you.
May I be like you.
Let's sing that again to the Lord. Change my heart.
Change my heart, O God.
My heart, oh God,
change my heart. my heart, oh God.
Heavenly Father, you have heard the prayer of our heart. We want to be different, Lord. And we can't change ourselves, Lord. So we want you to help us. Help us, Lord, and make us into the team that you want us to be. Thank you for your word, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus, and we come against every evil force that would want to steal the word and distract us. And cause that the word would not find good soil, Lord. We want your word to find good soil in our hearts, Lord, and to bear fruit. Bless us as we go, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. Our meeting is over.